You. We thank God for you. We've enjoyed praying for you. Yes, we have. And so we're excited about you joining us and being with us. This is on a series, Reverse the Curse. And so I've got to hit the ground running. All right. I'd love to talk to you about a number of things, but man, I've got to stay focused on this. I'm going to introduce this sermon by saying this. Psalm 23 says that the Lord is your shepherd. Let me say to you, the Lord is to always be your shepherd. Future, present, He needs to be your shepherd. Let me say that He needs to be your shepherd on Sunday. I'm going to say it like this, He needs to be your shepherd tomorrow. You will never, ever, ever, I don't care how spiritual you get, how educated or fact-oriented you get, how successful you are, you will always need to hear your shepherd. And you must. See, this is the secret to the Christian life. You must always follow the shepherd closely. I know sometimes people get a little focused on themselves and they think that they don't have to follow the shepherd as closely. Or they'll have this mindset, well, I know where he is if I need him. I want to tell you, one of the tricks of the enemy is to distract, okay? And if he can break your focus off the Lord, I want to tell you, we walk and breathe by our focus on Jesus. And when the enemy can distract you and get your focus off the Lord, I want to tell you, there can come some pause in your life that's really not God's will at all. All right, I hope I'm speaking to you on this because there should always be this, and it's really a definition of humility that I need the Lord today. And I've got to hear the shepherd today. I need to receive of the shepherd today and tomorrow. And just because I have a glory day today doesn't mean I take off a day tomorrow. Because it's not work, it's refreshment to be with them, okay? And so that's just of vital importance. And I've got to say this, this journey is a learning journey forever. I know that, and I don't want this to say wrong, so I hope you understand what I'm saying, but when the Lord is manifesting His loving kindness and His supernatural touch in your life, I'm going to just put it like this. You know, you look pretty good. You do. You look pretty good. I'm telling you, anointing can make you look good, you know. And God on you, God touching an area of your life can make you look very successful. But it's just like what is said of Joseph in the Old Testament. God was with him. God was on him. God was with him. And he was a success. In whatever area he was in, he was a success, but it was because of God. I think Joseph kept that in focus, and that was kept in his scope. I think we see that with him. And but I just want to announce to you, this whole journey is a learning journey. And in my own life, you know, I've seen the Lord do some amazing things in certain areas, and it kind of frustrates me a little bit to think that, you know, if I can trust the Lord and receive of the Lord in this area, why does it seem like I'm in kindergarten in this area? But I want to tell you, that's real journey, because the Lord wants us, just like He told the children of Israel, now when you come into the promised land, I'm going to bless you with things that you didn't work for. I'm going to bless you with houses. I'm going to bless you with vineyards. I'm going to bless you in ways that you didn't work for. I'm giving it to you. But one of the things that He warned them about is that do not forget me. And all of your blessing, do not forget me. You see, He was sharing with them that no matter how blessed you are, you will always need to need Him. I love to say this. It don't sound right sometimes to some people because, you know, the self-image folk want to build, you know, you got to build up your self-image. And no, I want to tell you, let's build up the Christ image in you. All right? He designed you, and this is what sounds wrong to the self-image people, because I've had them confront me on it. But here's what is very, very important. God designed you to be weak, so that you would lean on Him in a continual way and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you see that? That's where He gets honor and glory. And so sometimes, Pastor Rich, I can just tell you this because we've talked about this. Sometimes people feel like they're disqualified because of their weakness. No, no, my friend. I want to tell you something. Your weakness actually qualifies you as a need to receive from the shepherd. Amen. Because He loves to meet needs. And so somebody pointed out to me one time about Pastor Rich here. You know, he's a little cautious and he kind of trepids a little bit, kind of tiptoes. You know, he's not real comfortable sometimes preaching. I said, that's the kind of pastor I want up here with the Word. I want someone up here with the Word that says, I don't want this to be me. I want this to be Him. Now, see, I got confidence in the Lord about that because I know where I'm at. Sometimes when we run across people, sometimes people come, they watch online, they come, they visit. And I'm not referring to anybody that you know or anybody recently. I just want to make that clear. But I want to tell you, sometimes they come and they try to convince me how that, we need them. We need their sermon. We need their ministry. We need their message in the pulpit. And so I'm just going to say to you, when somebody comes to me with that self-confidence, that cockiness, I'm the gift from God to your church for your, I just say, we're okay. Thank you. God bless you. And I'm very protective of this pulpit, but that's also why that the folk that I have in this pulpit, I trust completely, totally. I trust Pastor Rich, see, he's right here. I trust Pastor Patrick. Hey, look here, I trust daughter Nikki. Not just because she's my daughter, I mean, tell you, I celebrated her walk with the Lord before she was ever my daughter in the Lord. As a matter of fact, the first time I met her, she don't remember. Because there was a lot of people coming around to meet her at a conference. Well, this is the way I tell it. You're going to preach in the near future. You tell it the way you preach. But there were a lot of people coming up, and I just walked up to her and said, hey, love you, appreciate you. Thank you for your testimony, not just with the touch of God, but with your life. That's what I said. And but I want to tell you something. As I was walking away, the Lord whispered to me, because, you know, He does whisper to us, that, you know what, I'm going to trust you with her as a daughter one day. Amen. Now, I had no clue, you know, because sometimes the Lord tells me stuff and it don't come to pass for a long time. But you know what? I want to tell you something. I was even at the place where I had just let that, I was so relaxed about stuff like that, I didn't even remember it until the Lord prompted me one day, sitting in your office, it's time for Nikki to come speak. I said, okay. Well, we're going to notify her then. Because you know what? If this is Jesus, then Jesus will tell her yes. And it's been yes a whole lot more than that. And I'm very blessed to have her as a daughter. And I got a number of sons and daughters in the Lord, but she's very precious to me. And she's going to be speaking for us in the near future. But what I'm saying to you is this, is that it's a learning journey. Hey, don't put me up on any kind of pedestal about anything, because I'm a learner. I'm still learning. I'm reminded on a weekly basis. I think it was Friday afternoon. I was reminded, I'm still a learner. And some of the things that I know, man, I just completely acted like I never heard of it. But I want to tell you, that keeps me on my knees, on my face before Him. Because I want to tell you something, I need Him. You don't ever hear me talking like I'm an expert, or if you think you do, you're misunderstanding. I'm a learner just like you. But what I encourage people is that this is what the Word's saying, and I may not even understand it all, may not be able to explain it all, but if this is what the Word says, let's go that direction. and I want to learn about it, you come learn with me and let's go together. Yeah. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Okay. It's without a doubt that he has won the position on the cross. This is part of reverse the curse. He's won the position of blessing for us. He's won the position of overcoming for us. He's won the position of more than conqueror for us. That's what his word says. Now, there are times like Friday afternoon, there for a little while, Friday afternoon, because I didn't let the enemy steal the rest of the afternoon or the night. But there is times that my practice does not reflect the position that Jesus won for me. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. I can say that in confidence here because I know I'm preaching at the right place. And you know that's true for you too. But here we go. The position that he won for us is a greater reality than our practice. Do you see that? Now, if you see that, you're going to have hope. Okay? Because you're not the enemy. If you believe that and if you trust the Lord with that, then the enemy is not going to be able to upset your apple cart for very long, get you off track because your practice didn't measure up to your position. All right? And so I'm going to try to say it in a couple of ways. The truth is my position in Christ. That's the truth. It's a greater reality than the human fact of me fumbling the ball. Okay? So what I'm saying is you don't judge your status by your state. You don't judge your position by your practice. Now, the enemy wants you to do that. Because if you fumble the ball in your practice, the enemy will say, not real, not true, not real, hypocrite, unworthy, fake. You know, he does stuff like that. He doesn't fight fair, and it is a battle. He will send you a wrong thought, horrible thought. And then he'll get on the other side and he'll blame you for it. See, he don't fight fair. But I want to tell you something. You don't judge your status with the Lord, your position with the Lord, your standing with the Lord. You don't judge your standing by your thought life. Well, man, I nearly got knocked down with amens on that one. Okay, let me back up a little bit and preach the freedom life. And those of you joining us on camera, just join in. Is there anybody here that wants all your thoughts publicly presented on that screen up there? Oh, come on, let's do it in video. Thank you very much for getting on the train with me. Because we don't pretend to be more spiritual than we really are. Okay? I had a pastor's wife accuse me one time, you're just in denial. No, that's a river over in Egypt somewhere. Okay, I'm operating by faith. And faith's going to agree with what God says. No matter what I feel or no matter how I fumbled or messed up my Cheerios yesterday or Friday afternoon, whenever it was, I'm telling you, that's not my mode of operation. Okay, my mode of operation is in Jesus works, not in Tim works. Amen. Okay. And so don't judge your status, your standing, or your position by your state. Your state can fluctuate. It means your feelings. Your feelings can fluctuate. Man, they can go all over the place. But your status with the Lord, listen to me, is forever. Aren't you glad? Your position is forever because of what Jesus has done. Oh, that's great news, not just for heaven. It's great news for here. So the key is to knowing him. This is a learning journey. We get to know of him more and more and more. You see, that's intimacy. That's really what he wants. That's where we learn. It's kind of like the Mary and Martha picture in Scripture where Jesus said, hey, your sister's done the thing really worthy. She's put the priorities in order. She's at my feet, and she's hearing my heart. I know we can get busy doing good things, but I want to tell you, just because they're good things don't mean they're the best for you. One of the challenges in ministering to ministers, because I face it too, is to get so busy with good things that we miss the main thing. The most important thing, Jesus said, and that's being with Him. Okay, and so that's our lifetime purpose, is to get to know Him more and more. Esteeming Him, focusing on Him, and we don't have to figure all this out by ourselves because we have the Holy Spirit, who's our life coach. You heard me refer to that. He's our life coach, and He's the one that coaches us into transformation and restoration life, freedom life. And it's Jesus in us. It's not us. It's Jesus in us. But it has to do with us cooperating and surrendering and submitting and yielding to the Lord. And this is how, when we walk in humility, we walk in a way worthy of His calling. Yeah. Worthy. We approach the Lord in a worthy manner. That's a part of what this series is all about. And so that's what results in supernatural. That causes us to broadcast to the world. Like you're a walking billboard for Jesus. That's what makes people notice Jesus. And so when the Bible talks about us being a living epistle, it means that your life is presenting, how does your life present Jesus? When people look at your life, what does it tell them about Jesus? If you were brought to court for the crime of loving Jesus, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Do you see that? Yeah. And so I'm just saying that when you're in love with Jesus and when you're walking with Jesus, you may not know it all, because none of us know it all. You may not understand it all, but here's the exciting part. The more you walk with Jesus, the freer you get. The more you walk with Jesus, the clearer you see. We may see through a glass darkly, okay, which means we don't have clarity or perfect revelation about everything. But the beauty of it is the promise in Scripture, and it's the last part of Psalm 119, that, you know what, the more we walk with Jesus, we get to see Jesus revealed to us our whole life in better and better, clearer and clearer ways. That's what growing is. That's what developing is. That allows the Lord to do so much, because then we are the living epistle. What is the gospel according to Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? We know. What's the gospel according to you? With your name, what does it say? Is your story His story? Well, today we can start by letting the rest of our story be history, His story in our life. That's what He wants. That's what we like. He's real. He's present. He's loving. He's powerful for you, not just for others, for you, not just for a few, but for you. Because he paid the same price for you that He did the Apostle Paul. He doesn't love the Apostle Paul more than He loves you. I'm telling you. And so there's dark tunnels in our journey. Am I right, Pastor? There's dark tunnels. In other words, we wake up and say one day, well, I didn't know this was coming. We can rest knowing that He knows all. We can also rest that even though this is a dark tunnel, and maybe with a curve in it, He's got His best in mind for you in this journey. And so when you can't see, you can trust Him. When you can't hear, I mean, there's periods of time where you can't hear. Well, what do you do? Well, you trust Him. You lean on Him. And you know that your shepherd's going to lead you through the very valley of the shadow of death. But when He leads you through it, that means He brings you out to the other side into green pastures. And so your dark tunnel's temporary. The curve that you just ran into, it blindsided, is temporary. And so let's follow the shepherd closely. Okay? Well, I can't see Him, I can't feel Him, I can't hear Him. Follow Him as you know Him, because your life coach is still present. Okay? And He will coach you into the next step. And sometimes it's leaning and trusting in Him. So be encouraged. I'm saying one of the greatest things that you can do in this series for this day is let Jesus love on you today. He wants to raise your hope to be on Him. You may have had a doctor's declaration to you that's not positive. You know, that's happened. You may have had a real estate agent say something to you that's not positive. You may have had your job say something to you that's not positive. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus has your best interest in mind right here. And I want to tell you how powerful God is behind the scenes and beside you in your life, because He's not way behind you. He's not way in front of you. I'm telling you, He's your shepherd. And I want to tell you something about Him. He will work out every circumstance and every situation. He'll work it out for your good and His glory as you depend on Him, as you cooperate with Him. That's promise. That's Bible. Romans 8:28 fits right there. That's so much Bible right there. But that's God's heart for you. So let Him love on you. Let Him raise up His hope in you. His hope in you is a whole lot better than someone just saying, God bless you. Okay? Because He'll show you in your heart what He wants. And it's not you, it's Him. His faith will spark in your life. His faith sparks in your life. Wow. I think one of the greatest challenges in this journey, and it's a learning journey, one of the greatest challenges is long seasons of battle. Okay, when I first started preaching, veterans from World War II were still alive. And so as I'm traveling and preaching in country churches, I would find myself over at these people's house, and sometimes I stayed in their houses while I was preaching a week of revival, and I got to hear their story. And sometimes they would share things with me that they didn't share with their church. I don't understand all that, but I needed to hear it, and I really benefited from it. But I want to tell you what they said. They said, in our war, there was a persistence. There was a sense of marathon that whatever it took to win, we were going to pay the price. I said, yeah, that's good. I said, I can see that, in the kingdom. In the kingdom, I can see that. He said, yeah, but now, he said, the generation that we have now, he said, they don't have the heart for a long-term battle. Anything that our nation has to do needs to be quick, and it needs to be over with in a hurry, because they don't have the heart for long-term battle. Now, I want to tell you, that kind of spooked me. And I backed away and thinking, I hope that's not right. But let me tell you something, that's probably right. Okay, but let me tell you something. That's not the way the body of Christ needs to be. There are people who experience sickness, and they'll say, well, you know what? I'm okay with the Lord healing me as long as it happens in a hurry. I'm going to look at my calendar, and I'm going to give God to this day for me to be healed or else. No, you don't talk to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords like that. And I'm just going to say to you, some of the biggest ways that I've missed God has been by a calendar. I'm just going to say that Tim's calendar and God's calendar don't line up exactly the same sometimes. I didn't say your calendar. You can go ahead and laugh. But I'm saying that it's best, since He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to allow the timing to be His and not put an expiration date on your prayer, on your belief system, on your faith. I'm asking you to be like the Hebrew children that got thrown into the fire. Whether he rescues us or not, we're believing God. He is our ultimate rescue. Whether he rescues us from you or not, we're not going to bow. We're not going to compromise. I want to tell you, when believers believe, it makes heaven shout today. And so what I'm saying to you is that it may be a long season of battle. It may be a sickness, a debt, a depression, an addiction, a hurting heart. I sometimes hesitate to share those things because I might miss yours. But the Holy Spirit can speak to yours. You've been praying. Sometimes in our prayer over a long time, it becomes pleading. That's not a proper approach, by the way. That's not approaching him in a worthy manner, to plead to him like he doesn't want to do it. Because when we study him in the Word, we find out he wants to do it a whole lot more than we want to receive it. It's not a question of talking God into it or crying God into it, okay? I've learned from my granddaughters that they want to do it in a couple different ways. First they'll ask, and then they'll suggest, and little Thea will tell you what she's going to do. And if that don't work, then they begin to cry, and you know. Well, man, don't you think heaven hears that? Yes. How about this? Lord, whether this door is open or closed, I'm going to celebrate you. Lord, whether you heal me this month or not, I'm going to celebrate you. Lord, I don't know when I'm going down, but I'll tell you when I do go down, I'm going to go down shouting. I'm going to go down with a shout and not a pout. I want to tell you, I wonder what would happen in our lives if we would approach the Lord with an open mind, open heart, open hands. You know what I mean by open hands? That we take the situation that we're wrestling over and grabbing over, and we just present it to the Lord with an open hand. Lord, here, I lay this at your feet, at your throne, and I trust you in it. I depend on you. And Lord, I'm going to go ahead and praise you ahead of time for who you are, what your word says, what you do. I'm going to praise you for who you are and leave the calendar up to God. I would not be shocked if things of the kingdom are expedited in our life when we release the stronghold off of it and we present it to the Lord with an open hand and we lay it at his feet. Well, I'm just trying to share with you a little bit and encourage you a little bit before I jump on a scripture. But the Holy Spirit has your key to unlock your situation today. May not all be over with today, but he's got the key. Because that's what the Bible says. He is wisdom. And so the way to receive of wisdom is to focus on him and not yourself. Listen to the whisper of his love to you today. If you don't catch anything I say, but you hear the Holy Spirit whisper to you, I love you no matter what. I'm going to love you through it. And I want to tell you, you can leave today with great hope. All right, I'm going to jump on this scripture because this is a scripture that challenges people in this series. As a matter of fact, when I talk to pastors about the truths that I'm sharing with you, one of the first scriptures they point out is this one. And they say, I think you're missing because of what this says. And so let's just jump there. You know, I'm not scared to go there, okay? I had one pastor tell me, you'll go where the rest of us don't want to go. Well, that's all right. Okay, so let's jump. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:29. For anyone who eats and drinks without discriminating and recognizing with due appreciation, somebody say worthy of manner. Because that's what it's talking about, is due appreciation to him. It's recognition of him. It's remembering him, recognizing him, responding to him in communion. Okay? That's the PowerPoint of communion. Whenever anyone eats and drinks, talking about communion, without distinguishing, without discriminating, and recognizing what this is not just a cracker and juice. Okay? I'm out of the Jesus bread at the house. And so I've been using a tortilla chip. Well, that's okay. But I'm telling you, you got to recognize that this is the body of Christ. And what the body of Christ, why he suffered. And so there's a distinguishing between the bread and the blood, the juice. And so that's all he's saying. Just recognize me for who I am and recognize me and remember what I've done. Okay. And this is a worthy manner when you're honoring him with it. You see, that's a worthy approach. Due appreciation. That it is Christ's body. If they don't do this in a worthy manner, then they eat and drink a sentence. And a lot of versions say judgment. A verdict of judgment upon himself. And this is where some pastors will point this out and say, see, you be judged. You be judged, man. You be judged by God. Now, a lot of times when in church life, and I'm just going to present it in a general way, in church life, when they see the word judgment in the Bible, this is what they think. H-E double toothpicks. They automatically assume it's talking about hell. And so, if you read this in a religious manner, then it looks like that if you do this wrong, God's going to send hell to your life. And you're going to be weak and sick, and you're going to die early, sending hell judgment to your life. No, that's not what it's saying. Okay? As a matter of fact, let me describe what this word judgment means. Now, sometimes it does mean hell in Scripture. Okay? It can. But it's not meaning that here. Sometimes it doesn't. As a matter of fact, I'm not getting technical on you, but the Greek word is krema, like you put the creamer. It's krema. And krema means a sentence. Now, a sentence can be good, it can be blessing, or it can be curse. Now, when Adam sinned in the garden, because he betrayed God and gave the keys of blessing and authority over to the enemy, that's what he did. It wasn't an apple. It was betraying God. Disobedient, betraying God, he handed the keys of authority and blessing over to the enemy. And so the enemy was then in charge of the earth instead of Adam. Okay? And the enemy released through the sin of Adam, that's what New Testament says, by the sin of one man, curse came upon the earth. There was a divine sentence that came on the earth. And I want to tell you something, sickness is a part of that. Poverty is a part of that. And so sentence, and it's just like in a court of law here in the U.S. where you are, when a sentence is presented, okay, the sentence is the effect or the function of a decision, right? It can be condemnation against you. In other words, it's a no. Or it can be a sentence of blessing, okay? It can be a yes, it can be a divine blessing, or it can be a divine curse. Now, in this context, the word krema is referring to sickness. It's not referring to hell, it's referring to the divine sentence of sickness upon the earth. And this is what Paul is saying. You guys are not reversing the curse. You're saying yes to the divine sentence of the curse. Sickness is on the earth. Jesus came and he suffered in his body and shed his blood for a divine sentence of blessing for his people. And this is what Paul is saying. You're acting just like the world. Okay? You're approaching the Lord in an unworthy manner, a disrespectful manner. And what he's saying is Jesus has provided the way of escape for us. The blood represents the forgiveness of our sin, the position of rightness. It's by his righteousness, not by our report card. Boy, we've talked about that. Hey, his body was beaten, by his stripes we're healed. His body suffered in order for our bodies to be recovered, to be restored, to be healed. Okay? And so Paul is saying, you're missing it. You're saying no to the blessing. Because you're not believing. And if you're not believing, you're not receiving. And so, as Jesus said, remember. The way we receive is by remembering Him, what the blood was. He told His disciples what the blood was, what the body was. He said, this is my body, broken for you. And so, this is what krema is. And so, when we say yes to Jesus, when we submit to God, because that's what Jesus did for us. He submitted to God, obeyed God. It's called in the New Testament the obedience of Jesus, the obedience of the faith. He obeyed God, and He went to the cross to receive our judgment in our place. He took it so that we can be blessed in His place. He took our cursing so we can have His blessing. Man, I'm trying to make it simple. Okay. And so, Jesus is not cursing people with sickness. He's not. I hope you've caught that by now. It's His heart to heal, and He was carrying out Father's will to heal. That's why you see Jesus healing so much, because it was Father's will to heal. And you never see in Scripture that Him ministering to people and say, wait, I'm going to give you a sickness now. Everybody else is going to get healed here, but I'm giving you a sickness because I'm going to teach you a lesson. I'm going to teach you something. No, that's not what happens here. And so sickness, poverty, sorrow, depression, they're all a result of Adam's sin. That's not Jesus' blessing. If there's any question in your mind about what's a blessing and what's a curse, you can go look at Deuteronomy 28 because it's all spelled out pretty clear. Real clear. So don't call a curse a blessing of God. Okay? We can believe God for the blessing because the Bible says that Jesus took the curses and gave us the blessing. Bible says we're blessed with all spiritual blessings because of Jesus. Because of His works, not our works. I am so glad. Aren't you? And so the divine sentence of blessing came through Jesus. Will you believe it and receive it? Look at Jesus real clearly in John 3:16. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that He gave up His only begotten Son. What was His name?
Jesus.
Give me a J. You know I love to do that. Okay, we won't do that again. But I want to tell you, it's Jesus. So that whosoever, now this is where you put your name in it. Okay? Are you a whosoever? You can be by believing. And believing is not just a mental acknowledgement. Okay, I believe He lived. No, there's cults that will say He was alive on earth. But those very cults, even though they'll mention the name of Jesus and try to fool you with that, they don't believe that He's God. That's what makes them a cult. Okay, that they don't recognize that He's God. All right. Well, amen. Okay. So that whoever believes, trusts in, clings to, and relies on. See, that's a whole lot more than repeating a parrot prayer. That's a heart submission surrender. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish, come to destruction and be lost, but have eternal everlasting life. Everlasting life starts the moment you surrender to Jesus. For God did not send the Son, His name is Jesus, into the world in order to judge. Isn't that interesting? Yeah. Because I want to tell you, when we look at this scripture we just covered in Corinthians, then this is not God judging. Okay? The judgment's already been placed on the earth through Adam. Jesus came, and this is what New Testament says, through the one obedience of the man, the second Adam, Jesus, we're blessed and we're forgiven. Our sins are washed away. Hey, we're blessed with all spiritual blessings. This is beautiful. But look at the heart of God here. He did not send Jesus into the world in order to judge, to reject, to condemn, or to pass sentence on. So why are Christians doing that? Well, it's because they miss. Religion jumps in on this and says, you know what? We need to condemn people into living right. We need to judge people into obeying. Well, how's that working out? That creates big messes is what that does. Okay? But the enemy loves to see pervert that. I'm going to say this real quick, and I'm going to get to this in the next couple weeks, but the First Corinthian church, the reason Paul is wearing them out on this, he gave them a good whooping, you know, in this, a good verbal whooping. And he could do that. He was their spiritual dad. But I want to tell you something. He was getting all over them because the First Corinthian church, when it came to communion, the first thing they did was dilute the truth. That's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to dilute the truth. Well, not everybody believes this, and it's probably okay if, you know, I just kind of compromise a little bit. No, no, no. That's what the enemy wants to do, is dilute the truth. If the truth is diluted in you, it won't be long until it'll be polluted in you. Hey, wait a minute. That the enemy don't want to stop there, because he come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I want to tell you, he wants to keep you as far away from forgiveness. He don't want you to know your forgiveness. He don't want you to know that you're loved. He don't want you to know that your healing's been paid for, your poverty's been paid for, your depression's been paid for. He don't want you to know that. And so it'll go from dilute to pollute to pervert. And the First Corinthian church had come to the place of perversion with communion. And so this is why that he's giving them a good chewing. And God's backing them up on it. Okay? And he's pointing them back to the basics of Jesus here. God didn't send his son to condemn. So why is it that Christians do that? Because they're all messed up. I am continually amazed. And 48 years of ministry or something, I'm continually amazed how that there are believers who think that their gift from God is criticism. That's not in the Bible. You look at the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you look at the fruit of the Spirit, criticism's not one of them. Judgment is not one of them. If Jesus didn't come to judge, what are you doing? Now, and there are actually people that get deluded and polluted and perverted in this, and they feel like that they're God's district attorney. And their gift is to prosecute the body of Christ for those who are wrong. It's their role. It's their job. It's their spiritual duty to be an attorney against the body of Christ. Well, I want to tell you what that attorney does. It's his job to accuse and to disqualify your testimony. If there's a witness, their job is to disqualify that witness. Do you understand what I'm saying? To accuse. Now, I want to tell you, the Bible says that's what the enemy does. He the accuser. And so if you're accusing and you feel like you're the prosecuting attorney for the body of Christ to straighten everybody out, what uniform are you wearing? Okay, I need to go on. So God didn't send his son to condemn, but to bless. Not to judge, but to save. When the Pharisees were accusing Jesus because of him eating with sinners, you know, that was just offensive to them. You don't do that. Well, you know what he said? He said he didn't come for the righteous. Now, these guys really weren't righteous, but they thought they were. He didn't come for those who think they're all that in a bag of chips for God. He came for those who knew that they needed God. He came for those who knew that they needed a Savior. And you know what? It still works out that way. If you think you're all that in a bag of chips for Jesus, oh, God bless you. Go to someone else for counseling, please. Because I really like to meet with those who know they have a need. Know they need a Savior. Know they need a healer. I want to tell you something. Hey, the sick need the healer. And I want to tell you, we need him. As part of our learning, we need him. We're all sinners needing a Savior. Judgment means that God does not want you to be under the divine sentence of the world. Jesus came to give you a way of escape from that. Jesus has paid the price for our freedom, our healing on this earth. And communion, in Paul's simple way he put it, Communion taken in a worthy manner. That's it. Not a worthy man. Worthy manner. By grace through faith, you push back and reverse the curse. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right. So, I'm going to wrap this up real quick. So, give me about 5 minutes. If the enemy can keep you from recognizing your birthright, if he can hinder you from believing, then I want to tell you something. He's gained some ground. I want to tell you what the enemy is scared of. And he's scared because he's full of fear. Let me tell you what he's scared of. It makes him shake for a believer to believe, because it shakes his kingdom when a believer believes. As a matter of fact, when believers are believing, even the world will call them world changers. World changers. That's what they said to the disciples. Here come the ones that, man, shaking up the entire world, man. They changed the entire world. Don't understand it because they're not real educated like we are. But then we can tell that they've been with Jesus. Because they talk like them. They act like them. They respond like them when we talk bad about them or we throw a stone at them. Amen. So, it's important that you be in a church, and I'm speaking this across to everybody listening, that you're in a church that recognizes that communion is a 1-2 combination punch of blessing. Okay? It's not a curse, it's a blessing. And so, yes, there are churches that just put everything together and it's just for our sins. Well, I want to tell you that the forgiveness of our sins is a major. Boy, I don't deny that. But also, you got to understand that He's put us in position to not just be forgiven, but to be healed. Can I just show you Isaiah 53 right quick? Isaiah 53. Man, I'm going fast, so look fast. Surely He has borne our griefs. This is talking about Jesus on the cross. He's borne our griefs, our sicknesses, and griefs is our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses. Does that sound like what Paul was saying? And so He took upon Himself our sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. He took our punishment for us. Yet we didn't understand what God was doing. We considered Him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God. He said, well, whatever's happening, boy, it's just God doing it, and boy, I don't want any part of that. That's what you do with someone with leprosy. You steer clear. And so we steer clear of Jesus because we didn't understand what it was. It was for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement, in other words, the price to be paid for us to walk in shalom peace on this earth, He paid for. Our well-being, He paid for. It was all placed on Him. The chastisement He received was for our benefit. He took what we are so we can become what He is. And look at this. And with the stripes that wounded Him, we are healed and made whole. And I want to tell you, that's Bible right there. Don't skip that. Don't say it's not for today. That's Bible for today. And so Jesus suffered that. So I wanted you to see the 1-2 punch, because the enemy wants to divorce this truth from you. And he will tell you there's no need for you to take communion at home, because, you know, your church does it every Sunday, or your church does it every quarter, or once a year, or whatever. So it's no need. It's like one pastor that called me and said, look, man, I'm sick. My kids are sick. I need some help here. And I said, well, let me talk to you about communion. He said, oh, no, I don't want to hear that. He said, I did that a few weeks ago. Give me something new. Okay. Well, sometimes we just need to practice in a worthy manner, seeing it as a gate to receive the touch of the Lord. And if we approach it in humility and by faith, we trust the Lord's touch. And I want to tell you, the people that touched the Lord or were touched by the Lord, they were healed. It's a beautiful picture, okay? And so don't separate His love from your sins and your sickness. Well, he loved me enough to take away my sins, but he didn't love me enough to take away my sicknesses. Or that don't count. No, I want to tell you, it's all the ground's level at the cross. And I want to tell you, he paid for that. Same payment. He paid for it. Can I show you one more scripture? I think there's two in this. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When evening came, they brought to him, brought to Jesus, many who were under the power of demons. And he drove out the spirits with the word. Wouldn't you like to see that? I tell you, I wish the Chosen would do that one. I'd love that, man. Wouldn't that be exciting? Wouldn't you like to have video of that? But you know what? We can, because we can see it with our imagination room in our heart. We can see what Jesus was doing. He drove out spirits with a word and restored to health a few that were... No?
No.
All for T-Hall.
Yeah.
All who were sick.
Yeah.
This is what he did. You know why? Because this was the Father's heart. It's what the Father loves to do. He didn't just... And this, if you will catch this, it'll make a difference in your life. He didn't just remove the curse. He released the blessing. Not just for you to be a little better, but for His best for you. Your body, your home, your family, your church, you got to speak life in truth. But I want to tell you, this is why I say that healing is in the atonement. Look at this, verse 17. And thus He fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Now, wait a minute. Back up. Look at your notes, because we've given them to you. He was referring to Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5 there. In other words, this is something the rabbis taught me years ago, is that let the Bible define the Bible. How interesting is that? That sounds right. And so I'm telling you, when you look at Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, the Holy Spirit is not wasting words on this. He's giving the manifestation, the translation, the fulfillment of Isaiah 53, 4 and 5 right here. He fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. There it is. He Himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses, infirmities, and bore away our diseases. That's what we just read in Isaiah 53. This is the fulfillment of it. Say His name. Jesus. With a word, He drove him out and He healed all who were sick. Now, I had a pastor confront me one time and said, well, if that's really God's heart, why didn't Jesus just heal every sick person in the whole world? And I tell you, I wasn't smart enough to answer that, but this is what came up. You know, sometimes the Holy Spirit will just, like I said, anointing kind of make you look good. Kind of made me look smart, but I said, wow, just like everybody else. But what came out when He said, why didn't Jesus go heal every sick person in the whole world? It came out, and I said, if He healed all who came to Him. And I want to tell you, everything got quiet in the room, because this pastor's in the room. Everything got quiet. Now see, here's the real question. Have you come to Him? Because I want to tell you, the Bible's pretty clear. Sometimes we have not because we ask not.
Yeah.
Why do we ask not? Why don't we ask? Sometimes we've been taught that we shouldn't. I had one pastor tell me, well, we just shouldn't presume on God. Presume on God? He paid for it. Let's give Him what He paid for. A believing believer... believing in this area. Okay, is that a little too simple? Sometimes I get there. Okay. He took our infirmities and our sickness, our sin. Yes, He did. He bore on the cross our sin and sicknesses. That's what He did. And really a whole lot more than that, because salvation means that. Now, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes, because I'm wrapping this up right now. And I'm just going to say to you, would you do this? Would you, in your heart, would you look to the Lord right now? Because the way to keep communion fresh, because I take communion every day, sometimes a couple times a day, certain times of the week. Like this morning when I'm ministering communion to the saints. I already took communion early this morning. But I'm receiving it again. You know what? It's hard to pray too much. It's hard to read your Bible too much. It's hard to praise too much. It's hard to touch the Lord in this love exchange in communion too much. I want to tell you what you do. You let the Lord lead you. But let's take right now and let's just put our thoughts on Jesus and not on ourselves, and let's see what happens. Let's put our heart direction on His love and even away from our need and watch what Jesus does. Can you do that? Yes, you can. So why don't you take your elements right now and take the bread and remember the Lord. Simple. Humble yourself before the Lord. Honor the Lord in this communion. Eucharist actually means thanksgiving. Let's thank Him that His body took your sickness and disease. Let's thank Him this morning that Jesus took your pain on Himself. He took your pain on His body. His desire to take away your pain, your sickness and disease, is to give you wholeness, restoration. Listen at this. He's giving you His best for you. Can you do that? Just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just humble yourself before Him. I receive of you, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you. We believe and we receive right now in Jesus' name. And in the same worthy manner of approach, would you take the juice right now? Because it represents His blood. His blood was shed for my sin. His blood was shed for my failure. His blood was shared for all of my misses. They were placed on Him. My sin, my failure, was poured out on His body so that He could shed His blood and give me His righteousness. His rights to me are now my birthright because of the gift of salvation that He is. Lord Jesus, thank You that by Your blood we're forgiven, but that by Your blood we are justified, that by Your blood You give us the position of the righteousness. We are righteous in You. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We receive, we believe. We respond to it by saying yes and amen. We want that. And we receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's salute the Lord. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Man, I'll tell you what, how rich is that?